Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for having us back again this week. And just so you're aware, Jenny and myself are back again next week as well. So I thought I'd take the opportunity this week and next week to do a two-part series. And it's based out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, just verse 7, which you'll see on the screen there if you don't have it in your Bible. This passage is meaningful for me. It's something that I've held onto for many, many years because of experiences and certain things that have happened in my life. And so this morning, I want us to focus on the fear aspect of this passage. And then next week, we'll look more at the side of power, love, and sound mind. Who here has been afraid? If you haven't put your hand up, you're either not human or nothing has ever happened to you and you've sat in your room all the time. Fear is natural. It naturally occurs. For me, one of the things I'm most afraid of isn't so much going up heights. It's falling off heights. Yesterday, I was up on my rooftop having to fix a tile before all this rain is supposed to come. The worst part of it for me is up and down the ladder, because all I can see in my mind is what's going to happen if I go off the side. And so this fear, even though I know it's not rational, is always there with me. And for all of us, this kind of fear is hardwired into our brains. It's there to warn us of potential dangers, and it triggers either a fight or flight response. You might have heard that term, fight or flight. There is actually a third part to that, that they've just, I don't know if they discovered it, but it's always been there. It's also freeze. So some people fight back when it comes to fear. Some run away. Some just get stuck and they don't know what to do. And so they do nothing. Part of the reason this has come about is it helped our ancestors to quickly deal with threats and increase the chances of survival, particularly coming into new lands and places where you don't know what's going on, what the dangers are. This serves to protect us from some of these things. It also comes from our personal experiences and social interactions that we have throughout our lives. So sometimes we learn fear from the things that we've experienced. When something, it was mentioned before, if a friend betrays us, it puts that fear into us that what if that happens again? And so maybe next time we might not be so quick to jump into a friendship. Hopefully not, that doesn't happen all the time, but that tends to be the response. Some fear comes about through a chemical imbalance in our brains, leading to anxiety and other medical conditions. So these kinds of things we don't always have control over at all. And so, while again, it might not feel logical or reasonable, they're things that we can't do much about. And sometimes it requires medication. But fear is also used as a tool of Satan, used to control and to manipulate us to run away from the things of God. We only have to turn on the news at the moment and we see how fear can be used to manipulate people to get the things that others want for themselves, even at the cost of those around them. It's a tool of Satan, and he uses it very well. He leads us to believe impossible events and consequences that may never come to pass. You know how you can sit there and you can think, oh, what if this happens and what if that happens and what if that happens? So therefore, I won't do anything. And Satan sits there saying, I've got them. They're not doing the actions that God wants them to do because they're so afraid of things that are never going to happen. But we tend to believe that they will. And when we turn away from God, we turn away from the right path and we move away from his love and protection. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it shows people, or it shows God's people as they were. Have you ever noticed that? When you read about Moses and Abraham and David and others, unlike most histories where the victor is always made out to look like the hero and they have no faults, when it comes to God's people in the Bible, you see them warts and all. We see that they're just like us, and we see that many of them had their own fears to deal with as well. Some of them suffered the most terrible consequences of their fear. including people like Moses and Gideon, David, and even the disciples. Thomas, for example, doubting Thomas, who allowed fear to control his reactions to things. And even Jesus suffered a form of fear. I don't know if you've ever realized that, but when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating blood over what was to come, this is a reaction to fear. Not that he felt fear necessarily the same way as we do, but the Bible tells us that Jesus identifies with us, and so he understood what fear is. The difference is, he didn't succumb to it. He didn't say to God, I'm not going to the cross, no matter what you make me do, I'm not going there. He says, but not my will, but yours be done. He doesn't give in. In response, God calls us to be strong and courageous. And we read that in Joshua 1:9. And it's another favorite passage of mine. That call to, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how bad things might look, be strong and courageous. I don't always live that out, as many of us don't always live it out. But it's a reminder from God that he has provided us a way through whatever events we're going through. And so, as I said, we'll focus more on that next week. But this week, I want us to focus more on the negative fears and what that means for us in our day-to-day lives. And so first, the origin of fear. Where does it come from? See, fear is a powerful emotion that can grip our hearts, hinder our faith, and keep us from walking fully in God's purpose. It often stems from three sources, uncertainty, past failures, and lies from the enemy. So the first one, uncertainty. When we don't know what the future holds, fear can creep in and make us doubt God's promises. The unknown can feel overwhelming, but Scripture reminds us, particularly in passages like Isaiah 41, that God is in control. If we don't believe that, if we don't believe that God is in control, then can he really be God? Because God is in control of all things. He is greater than all things. And so we have no need to doubt him. The next one, past failures. Our past mistakes and disappointments can make us fearful of trying again. The enemy whispers lies that we're not good enough. Anyone heard that one before? That you're not good enough to do whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing? I hear it regularly. And sometimes it's in our own minds. Sometimes it comes to the people around us as well, doesn't it? People that don't necessarily know the truth, but they're still there to pull us down, to make us feel that we can't do what God has called us to do. The enemy also whispers that we will fail. That we're not just that we will fail, but oftentimes we are failures. That who are we to do what God calls us to do? How on earth can we do those things because we are so sinful? Remember all those past times you didn't do it? Well, why won't it be like that again? It's going to be like that again. They're the things that Satan often whispers to us. Or that God cannot use us because of our past. Particularly for new Christians, as you come out of the old ways of doing things, Satan will often tell you, no, remember what you were like? You're still that person. You're not this new creation. You're the old man. You're the old person. Still doing those things. So how can God use you? Why would God use you? I don't know about you, but I know these lies well and have spent most of my life learning to either ignore them or to push through them. Not always successfully. But thankfully, God's grace is greater than our failures, isn't it? God's grace is greater than our failures, and he is always ready to redeem and to restore. That's what Romans chapter 8 is all about, isn't it? That there is nothing that can ever separate us from the grace and love of God. There's nothing in this world, nothing beyond this world that can ever separate us. Not even our past can get in the way. But then there's the lies from the enemy. Satan uses fear as a weapon to paralyze believers, keeping them from stepping into God's calling. He distorts the truth, making us believe that we are alone, incapable, or unworthy. We see this strategy especially in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, where after sinning, they hid from God out of fear. We see fear enter because of what Satan led them to do. Instead of running to their loving Creator, instead of going and saying, "Sorry, Lord, we did the wrong thing, please forgive us," they run the other way, don't they? They try to hide away from Him so they can't find Him, so they can't see the shame that they had been brought, upon themselves. Instead of running to Him, they allowed fear to separate them from Him. And we still do this today. We still do it. We haven't learnt the lesson. Knowing then where fear comes from, how does it affect our lives? So the consequences of letting fear rule. See, it's not just an emotion. Fear isn't just something that we feel physically. It's a spiritual battle as well. And if it's left unchecked, it can hinder our walk with God and keep us from fulfilling our purposes. When fear takes control, it leads to several negative consequences in our spiritual and personal lives. The first, fear leads to inaction and spiritual stagnation. See, fear often keeps us from taking the steps of faith God calls us to. Instead of moving forward in obedience, we hesitate, we doubt, we refuse to act. This is illustrated in Matthew 25, verse 25, where the servant, afraid of failing, buries his talents instead of using it for his master. You may know that story well, that the servants were given talents to go and use wisely, to multiply for the master. And yet one, out of fear of what the master might do to him if he doesn't succeed, goes and buries it, and then expects reward when the master comes back. How often do we do that? When God has given us a talent of some sort, a gift of some sort, a calling of some sort, and instead of stepping into that, taking the risk, we go and bury it down. We don't let anybody see it. We don't let anybody know about it. We try to pretend that it doesn't exist. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless us. We wonder why we don't grow in our faith, why we stagnate. Our fear here led to wasted potential and was ultimately rebuked for his lack of faith and initiative. So when we allow fear to rule, we risk missing out on the blessings and opportunities that God has set before us. Particularly in a town like Laidley, do we hide our faith away? Do we hide our gifts and talents away from people, never letting them see who we really are? Or do we take the step out in faith and allow people to be blessed as God blesses us? Fear destroys peace and confidence. See, one of the most crippling effects of fear is that it robs us of our peace. Instead of resting in God's promises, we become anxious, worried, and uncertain about the future. Fear clouds our minds with doubt, making us question whether God will truly come through for us. As I said earlier, this is one of Satan's greatest lies: make us doubt God's goodness. Is God really good? Does He really love us? And when we question that, these things start to creep in. We fear, we doubt, anxiety, depression, all sorts of thoughts come in. But this is the opposite to what Jesus wants for us. He says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." What a gift. Imagine having that peace, that comes from Jesus. That confidence that Jesus had in his Father. Jesus trusted his Father implicitly, even to the point of death and beyond. Such was his confidence in the Father. Do we have that kind of peace? Do we trust God that deeply that no matter what we see going on, no matter what we face going on in our lives, that we have a deep peace? Our final song this morning, Talia, I'm assuming you put the songs together, Talia? Talia didn't know what the sermon was this morning. Our final song this morning is going to be Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's supposed to be our reality. That's what we're supposed to experience each and every day. But we allow fear to destroy it. We allow Satan to come in and take it away from us, to rob us of it. When we allow fear to dominate, we lose the confidence that comes from trusting in God's sovereignty. If you believe God is sovereign, then he has to be sovereign over everything, not just bits and pieces. And then fear weakens our faith. See, faith and fear cannot coexist. You cannot say, on one hand, I trust Jesus, and then on the other hand say, I don't trust Jesus. You can't have it both ways. It has to be one or the other. When we let fear take over, we begin to rely more on ourselves than we do on God. Instead of trusting in his power, we try to control situations with our own limited strength. Anyone here been able to control everything that goes on in your life? Good luck, hey. Almost everything in life is out of our control. There's very little that we have control over for ourselves. Total control. As a parent, you wish you had control over your kids sometimes. And as they get older, you realize more and more, you've got no control over them. All you can do is give them the right values to train them up properly and then trust God that he will continue on doing that with them, that they will take those things that they've learnt and use them. But this lack of trust distances us from God, making our faith fragile. So the Israelites, for example, allowed fear to keep them from entering into the promised land. Instead of a few weeks' journey, turned into a 40-year journey because they didn't trust God. They allowed fear to come in and say, well, where's the food going to come from? Where's the water going to come from? What's going to stop the Egyptians from catching up to us? All these things took over their way of thinking and they doubted. And God said, you can't follow me and doubt at the same time. You can't allow fear to weaken your faith. Because they focused on the size of their enemies, especially going into the promised land, because the Israelites focused on the size of their enemies instead of on the power of their God, they missed out on the blessing he had prepared for them. So even Moses, this great man of faith, this great leader of the Israelites, never saw the promised land because he allowed fear to get a foothold. They stood on the edge, but they never got to go in. So how to overcome fear with God's strength? As I said, fear is a natural human emotion, but God never intended for it to control us. Instead, he provides the strength, peace, and courage we need to overcome fear and walk boldly in faith. By relying on his word, his presence, and his spirit, we can break free from the grip of fear and live in the victory he has given us. We do that, first of all, by remembering God's promises. If you grew up going to Sunday school, no doubt you learnt many of these things. Why do we teach children the promises of God? Because they make a difference. They give us something to anchor into when life isn't going our way. They give us the bedrock of our faith, the reminder that whatever comes your way, God is bigger. Jesus is better. Throughout Scripture, God reassures his people with the words, "Fear not, for I am with you." Isaiah 41 verse 10 reminds us of that. "Fear not, for I am with you." Do you repeat that to yourself? Do you remind yourself of that when life gets tough? "Fear not, for I am with you." It's not Jesus sits at home while you go off and do your daily chores or your job or whatever, and he waits for you to come home and then talk to you about your day. He gets in the car with you. He walks alongside you wherever you are, whatever situation you are facing. Jesus is right there. His Spirit is within you. The Bible tells us that when we become Christians, we are part of Christ. We are in Christ. There is nowhere we can go where he doesn't go with us. He is always there, always reminding us to trust him. God's presence goes before us, stands beside us, and upholds us. When we face uncertainty, we can hold on to passages like Jeremiah 29:11, even though we often take that out of context to say that God always has a good plan for us, which he does. But God is saying this to a group of people that are going through some very difficult times. But he says, "I have a plan and a purpose for you. I won't do wrong by you." When we feel weak, we can trust in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, where God declares, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Especially when we fear medical conditions and things like that that are going on in our bodies. Even the Apostle Paul understood what it meant to have something going wrong that he couldn't control. We don't know exactly what that thorn in his flesh was, but whatever it was, it caused him to cry out to God to take it away. He struggled with it. But God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Not to say that God doesn't care what you're going through, but he says, "I understand. And I will enable you to walk through this time. I will be with you." When fear whispers that we are not enough, we can stand on Romans 8:37, which declares that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We tend to think that we are conquerors, but this passage reminds us that we're more than that. We don't just defeat sin. We trample all over it. We can live and act as if it has no power over us because it has no power over us, that we don't give it. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. You try and do it without Jesus? We can't. But in him we can. See, memorizing and meditating on God's promises helps us to combat fear with the word of the Lord, with the truth of his word. It's one of the reasons we have the Bible and the fact that we can pick it up and open it and read it whenever we want, however we want, or listen to it. Compared to many places in this world, we have it so good. And yet we don't often turn to it when we need the help. The next one, step out in faith. Fear often tells us to retreat, but God calls us to step forward in faith. Even when we're afraid, we must act in obedience, trusting that he will fight for us. It means that we don't wait for the fear to go away, but we take a step forward despite the fear. We recognize it for what it is, and then we carry on. A powerful example of this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Where King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah faced a vast enemy. Instead of giving in to the fear, they sought God, and he responded by saying to them, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." God's saying to them, "Don't worry about what you see in front of you. It's not your problem. I've already got it in hand. It's my problem, and I've already dealt with it. So the people worshipped and they marched forward, and God miraculously delivered them without even having to fight. How's that for God's blessing? We sometimes think we have to fight every battle. Sometimes we just have to stop and trust God. Say, God, this is your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing these songs. We sing them week in, week out to remind us of these promises. But do we live it out? See, faith is not the absence of fear. It is the choosing to trust God despite the fear. When we take steps of faith, God meets us in our obedience and he brings the victory. And then the third one, to be filled with the Spirit. See, true boldness and courage does not come from within ourselves. You can read self-help books that say if you just look within yourself, you have it within you to overcome all these things. We can't. History has proved it time and time again. But when we trust the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can do all things through him. When the early church faced persecution, they did not shrink back in fear. Instead, they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly in Acts chapter 4. They were being persecuted, but the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak up and to stand up for God. And so we're reminded the Holy Spirit empowers us to stand firm in faith, even in the face of opposition. So stand firm in faith, even in the face of opposition. Ephesians chapter 6. Speak truth with confidence, just as Peter did when he preached boldly after being filled with the Spirit in Acts 2. And walk in peace, knowing that God is with us in Romans 15. When we seek God daily through prayer and worship, we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us, giving us strength and courage beyond our natural abilities. Have you ever heard people share stories of overcoming things with they knew they just couldn't, but something took over in them? Something gave them supernatural strength or supernatural love or whatever it was to enable them to overcome. It's God at work. God still does these things. He still moves. He still is at work in this world. So embrace strength and courage. God repeatedly commands his people to be strong and courageous because he knows fear is one of the greatest barriers to faith. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, he tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of what you see in front of you. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Strength and courage come not from our own abilities, but from trusting in God's power. We must remind ourselves daily that God is greater than any obstacle we face. King David wrote that in Psalm 27. We only have to look at his life of what God did time and time again, despite the things that he encountered. And courage is built through experience. Each time we trust God and see his faithfulness, our confidence in him grows. So sometimes you look at older Christians or people that have followed Jesus their whole life and you just think, wow, they've got it all together. Doesn't matter what happens, nothing fazes them. It's because they have practiced this time and time again. It doesn't just appear overnight. We don't just suddenly build up courage. It's like going to the gym. You've got to go regularly and repeatedly. And if you stop, it slips away. But as you experience him more and more, you're reminded that you can trust him more and more. So to finish, fear is not from God. He gives power, love, and a sound mind. He calls us to choose faith over fear, to choose to walk in his strength and in his courage, in his promises, knowing that no matter what comes, He's got your back. He will look after you, even when things go horribly wrong. Because faith doesn't necessarily lead to a perfect life, does it? We know that. We all have our problems. We live in a broken world. And we live in a world that a spiritual battle is going on in. And sometimes we get caught in those things. But we know whose side we are on. We know God has the victory. That we don't need to fear what is to come. Because the Bible again tells us that what is to come is a home with Christ. Even if we have the most horrible of deaths in this world, it's temporary. The eternal is waiting for us. But that eternal has already begun. So choose faith over fear. And so this week, every one of us has areas in our life that we have allowed fear into. What is that for you? Some of us know it very well. Sometimes, maybe not so well. We need to stop and to ask God to show us. Not just to take an inward look for ourselves, but to ask God to reveal it to us, to point it out. And then we need to ask God to help us to overcome it, to help us to stand strong, to not allow fear to hold us down, to hold us back from what God has called us towards. And then surrender those fears to Him. And surrender them again and again until they no longer have power over us. Can you imagine a life like that? What God can do through you if fear did not rule. My prayer is that you will see, not just understand it, you will see it and you'll start to live it out each and every day. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we often walk by sight, not by faith, that we allow the things of this world to get the better of us, to overcome us, to overwhelm us, to hold us back. But Lord, we're thankful that you remind us through your word, through the experiences of those within the Bible, through the experiences of those around us, and through your Spirit speaking to us, that we do not need to fear, but that we can trust in you because you are greater. And so, Father, help us this week to find those fears, to hand them over to you, and to start to walk the journey, to walk the path that you have placed before us in strength, in power, in love, because those are the things you give us. Father, bless us and keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.